with COVID, what really happened was it ripped the Band-Aid off of working remote and what people are affectionately calling this branch of one, right? This home office. So as we move to a more working remote workforce, how do you secure, enable, and create quality connectivity when you're in the home?
Frankly IT, straight talk for IT leaders everywhere.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to Frankly IT, episode 75. We're coming into the end of the year, and what a year it has been. I think we can safely say that none of us anticipated the level of change and upheaval that 2020 would bring us. But it's not all bad. There have been some positive shifts, some silver linings, if you will. And we'd like to bring you one more to end the year on a high note, because it's time once again for the Nifty Gifty event. This is where Ovit gets together with a bunch of other vendors and we give away lots and lots of free stuff. This year, there are 7 different daily giveaways for everyone who enters and a grand prize worth $1,600 for one lucky winner. That grand prize includes a Nintendo Switch Lite, an Apple TV, a $200 Visa gift card, and more. To enter, just go to ovic.com/niftygiftyfit and click join now. That URL again, ovic.com/niftygiftyfit. Now we turn to what is perhaps another positive development for 2020, or at least a very interesting one. This is all about SD-WAN and whether it becomes a practical and viable solution for home offices. John Free is an independent technology analyst, and he first drew my attention to this trend that was already starting to shape up in the spring, not long after many, many companies dispersed their workforces to home offices and suddenly had ongoing connectivity and security needs that couldn't be adequately addressed with VPN. I also spoke to Ben Nierenberg, Executive Vice President at M&J Technologies, an MSP that specializes in SD-WAN deployments. He's also seeing this push of SD-WAN out to what he calls the branch office of one. Now, I spoke to John and Ben separately. I didn't interview them together, though I asked them many of the same questions, and their answers together create a rich perspective on this subject. So throughout this segment, you'll hear clips from each of them. John's article in TechTarget is called Working from Home Could Expand SD-WAN Edge to Residences, and I started by asking him what he was seeing in the market that led him to that hypothesis.
Well, the initial thought around this was that as we all hit the COVID lockdown and suddenly everybody started working from home, initially everybody was thinking, well, this is a short-term thing and, you know, we'll all be back in the office in a couple of weeks. And so I think for a lot of companies, it was very straightforward for them to say, well, we've got a VPN system in use. We'll just utilize that. And then as we need to, we can bring people back into the office. And then I think what happened was they realized, you know, we're going to be out for a lot longer. And VPN is great for things like getting your email or sending messages back and forth. But when it comes to real hardcore productivity apps or true security apps, I think people start to look at how do we get a better experience for these users? And so a lot of people started to look at SD-WAN as a potential opportunity for bringing certain members of their staff in and allowing them to have access to what's going on inside the workplace from their home via what I would consider to be a network edge, as opposed to a punch-in through a VPN.
I also asked Ben what he was seeing in the market around this trend.
The SD-WAN revolution, quote unquote, started 3.5-4 years ago. And we really saw it start to explode over the last 24 months, where we really were no longer justifying the value or educating on SD-WAN, but really more the widespread acceptance became about understanding the right SD-WAN solution for the customer, up to including the security posture that they take. With COVID, what really happened was it ripped the Band-Aid off of working remote and what people are affectionately calling this branch of one, right? This home office. So as we move to a more working remote workforce, how do you secure, enable, and create quality connectivity when you're in the home? And so the exploration really now is about, can you create an SD-WAN solution at a home where maybe you have a single wire line or broadband coming in, but then you also have LTE? And can that device also create security postures and protocols, as well as a better experience for the end user as they're using, whether it be collaboration tools, voice over IP, or layer 7 applications? We are truly starting to see a discussion centered around just that.
SD-WAN is not an inexpensive solution, so I wanted to know where Ben and John predicted this trend would concentrate. Here's John.
Primarily, you're going to see it with people that have very intensive applications, expensive applications, very sensitive applications, and those that are already employees who would tend to be on the higher end of the spectrum from a compensation standpoint. So you look at people like engineers, you look at lawyers, you look at people doing CAD design. They're using very expensive tools. They have requirements for security. They have requirements from a licensing standpoint that don't allow them to be able to also run it at home. It's a very different world than people like myself who live in the world of PowerPoint and Excel and Microsoft Word. I mean, in that kind of environment, I can run Microsoft Office at home very inexpensively, and I could connect to my office via VPN if I needed it. But let's say I'm working on AutoCAD. The typical CAD designer probably doesn't have a licensed newest version of AutoCAD sitting at their house that they can do their work on. And quite often they're having to share files with other people, and the size of some of these files can make it a little too prohibitive to deal in a VPN world. So what SD-WAN actually does is it kind of extends the network edge all the way out to that person's house, and it gives them a better experience. It's much more of an always-on connection, and it's almost as if they're literally sitting right there in the office.
Ben thought it might go even broader than that.
I'm not sure how cost prohibitive this becomes. I think many of the OEMs are working on a branch of one solution that also then ties in security. And so if you've got, you know, your connectivity, your security all in a box where you can protect the company, I think that changes the financial posture of what is or isn't acceptable. So when you have those that work remotely and are dedicated to that, and you want to not only create that better end user experience, but also create better security protocols around that, no different than we have a setup where you buy a laptop or monitors and screens, I think this device becomes part of that. And while it may go up slightly, you're probably saving a lot of money on the backside, whether it be through real estate or through trying to enable an entire office. So I'm not sure it doesn't become widespread yet. I think that's really what we're trying to learn, is what is that threshold where it makes both financial and business sense to create that.
John did add that there were other factors that could affect how far SD-WAN got implemented for home offices.
I think that over time, it's also going to depend on how companies decide to restructure their workforce in light of everything that they're dealing with today. I'm here in Austin, Texas, and this is where the worldwide headquarters for Dell Technology is. I worked for Dell for 10 years back in the 90s and early 2000s, and everybody was centralized there at the Round Rock offices just outside of Austin. Well, now, because of all this, Dell sent a lot of their employees home, and in sending the employees home, what they found was they were getting the same kind of productivity. And so now they've actually gotten themselves to the point of stating, we're going to have permanent work from home. So a lot of the people that I know that still work there saying, I work from home permanently now, and that's never going to change. And so in those kind of environments, extending the network edge, again, may work, make sense for them. They may not necessarily be the highest paid employees, but because their entire workplace is going to be at home forever, that changes some of the dynamics as well.
Given that there might be market appetite for increasing the use of SD-WAN in home offices, I wondered if the SD-WAN vendors were looking at reworking their solutions to bring device costs down, for example, or in some way make them easier for a branch of one scenario. John said yes.
I think everybody is going to be looking at that. The guys that I had talked to, and this was back maybe in the April, May-ish timeframe, they were bringing it to me that they're actually seeing this, was a company called Silver Peak. And Silver Peak was recently acquired by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. And they have a relatively inexpensive device. So you're probably talking about an SD-WAN appliance that's probably in the, you know, $800 to $1,000 range per user. And in that kind of range, you start to look at people like marketing managers and people that work in finance. And suddenly it might make a little more sense in the long-term plan for the company to say, you know, I'm going to create an always-on connection for that person and be able to segment traffic and not have to worry about VPN.
Ben also agreed that changes were very much on SD-WAN vendors' radar.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're in constant discussions with us and internally about what that reality looks like and what devices can do all of that. I think there's devices already out there that put security and put some level of routing and switching in there, but don't have a full SD-WAN capability. And so I think they're absolutely looking at that. Where I agree with many that we don't see widespread adoption yet, you certainly see a move towards it, and you see a lot of discussions beginning to happen, both at the OEM and manufacturer level, as well at the customer, the company, or the end user level.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Even if the one-time expense of an SD-WAN appliance comes down, there are, of course, other cost factors to implementing SD-WAN, including the connection and ongoing support and management. Ben gave a ballpark figure for monthly expense and talked me through the cost analysis and ROI.
So it's funny, SD-WAN started out as everyone saying, well, it's going to save us money or we're going to lower our operating cost. In many cases, it does. And in many cases, it doesn't. If you look at SD-WAN as a total spend, which then you have to encompass your cost of broadband, which means are you on an MPLS network currently and you're moving to maybe a DIA broadband combo? Are you moving to open internet? When you look at a total cost of ownership, I think that's really where you start to see some of the savings and you can start to absorb some of the capital expenditure of the actual hardware, as well as then are you going to have someone manage it. But when we look at most of our sites where we are going to do two diverse paths with an SD-WAN appliance and manage it completely, oftentimes you're looking at anywhere between $500 to $2,500 a site, depending upon the bandwidth that you need and the device and the level of security that you need. And again, when you take that total cost of ownership and you encompass all of those aspects, you usually can most of the time be budget neutral or even see some savings there.
It could be that if your company has recently gone remote and is going to stay that way, then you're going to have cost savings on rent and other types of overhead that you can put into that SD-WAN cost. But you may also want to perhaps prioritize some users over others.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So if you have key developers that you need to make sure that they're always up and running, if you have a call center that always needs to take calls, right, those are going to get certainly priority. So key mission critical personnel, for sure. And I think that's exactly what's happening. You're looking at companies understanding is, do we bring the workforce back into the office? Do we continue down this remote workforce, which then will save us money on office space and so many chairs and desks and all these other things that encompass that. And so now that the Band-Aid has been ripped off, and now that you were forced to do it, the two things that stopped companies from a working remote workforce was A, cost, and B, productivity loss. And it was a fear. Well, we've already seen that there's not been a productivity loss. We've seen companies adapt and the business continues to work and thrive. And we've seen them already have to incur the cost of all the different, from hardware to software to bandwidth that needed to be done. And now they're running through those TCO models and starting to say, okay, what is this going to cost us? Where can we save money? And then how do we enable it? And then, no different than anything else, what are our most mission critical employees that need the highest level of availability and reliability and the best end user experience? And work your way down on how you disperse that through your workforce.
John mentioned the cost of the internet connection and how some companies would choose to cover the cost of a good quality internet line to certain home offices.
From a connection standpoint, you're still working over an employee's internet connection. And so for some of these companies, they might be in a position where they're actually compensating the employee for part of that. And others may take a different perspective, which is, I'm allowing you to work from home. And that's a much nicer experience. The majority of us would agree with that. And so the trade-off is, you don't have to drive into the office every day. You don't have to deal with getting all dressed up and all the other garbage that comes along with that. But in return, you know, just foot the bill for a decent internet service and we'll call it even. So some companies are kind of taking that attitude. Others are saying, you know, somewhere along the line, I might ask my employee to do some things around their internet connection, or I might put some stipulations on it. And so in that case, I'm going to need to kind of belly up and pay for part of their internet so that I have a say in how they use it. The prime example that I always give is, you know, I could get a really, really cheap internet connection here in Austin. It's not a very good connection, but I could get a cheap one. And if I was suddenly put in a position where I had to work from home and I don't feel like spending extra money, I might have a terrible connection, which is just fine for getting my email and, you know, the light web browsing that I do. But when it comes to doing voice over IP or some of the other applications, it just falls down. Well, a company may say you need to have a minimum of this amount of download bandwidth and this amount of upload bandwidth, or, you know, you might have to belly up for the more expensive internet plan because there's a certain level quality of service that you've got to be able to provide if you're going to be working from home. And so in these cases, you may find that a company actually has to, if they're going to stipulate the kind of internet connection you have, they're probably going to have to pay for part of it. And so that becomes a cost in all of this. And then the other piece that could be a cost in all of this, you can't ignore the fact that there's going to be some level of training that's going to have to happen. There's going to be some level of software licensing that's going to have to happen. There may be other per node costs or management costs. As you suddenly start to push all the employees over this, you may need to up your support contract from a next day resolution to a 4-hour resolution or something like that. So there's a lot of other things.
I asked John, given all these factors, what he thought the timeline was for seeing the SD-WAN shift pick up steam.
Well, I think there's kind of two dynamics that would come into play here. The first dynamic is something you already brought up, which is the cost. And so as these different SD-WAN companies are able to bring out a more cost-effective SD-WAN appliance really targeted towards individual home consumers, when that happens, I think you'll see more of a transition to it, because ultimately speaking, it's easier to manage everything through an SD-WAN than it is to manage VPN services. There's a whole lot of reasons behind that, but you have much greater control and you're in a better position. But the other part of it, the other half that has to happen, is you've got to have some cultural things happen within the company that drive you down the path of saying, we're going to make this a viable option. If you always have the idea that one day all our employees are coming back to the office, even if it's a year or two that you're out, you're probably not willing to go down the path of putting all of the infrastructure in place to do this. But if you get to the point where suddenly now you've decided that we're going to have people working from home permanently and we're going to become a virtual organization, then things like SD-WAN suddenly make a lot of sense. So you've got both the cost factor and the cultural factor that both have to kind of align for a company in order for them to move forward and really do something like this.
As you might remember, Ben thought SD-WAN for the home office had the potential to go fairly mainstream, but he did agree that early adopters were still going to be the ones who really needed it for connectivity and security reasons.
And it's not just connectivity in the traditional sense of I need to get to my applications. Some of that could be voice connectivity as well, right? You know, if you're an E911 center or you're a call center and you now have a disjointed workforce, how can you help enable that unified communications in the cloud while they're working remotely? So yeah, I think really when you look at companies that need a very, very strong security posture, or you look at those that have key applications, whether that be voice or something in the cloud that need to be accessed and need to be reliable, those are the ones we'll see pushed there the soonest.
I closed the conversation by asking John and Ben if someone was hearing this podcast and was interested in exploring SD-WAN for a home office today, where would they recommend starting? John recommended looking first at the business case.
I think first and foremost, the most important part is, as just about everything in IT goes, you've got to be able to show the business need and you've got to be able to show the business benefit of doing something like this. So just because your company is using SD-WAN today, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a green light to go ahead and push SD-WAN out to all of your remote users. You really have to look at your employees and you've got to look at them and stratify your employees based on the type of role that they have. And you're going to have different ROIs based on the kinds of work that they're doing, the kinds of applications they need to use. And so this is a pretty complex process. It's not just kind of a light switch. It's not looking and saying, okay, this is the next new technology, let's do this. Or, gosh, it would be great to get rid of this VPN license and service that we're paying for and just switch everybody over to an SD-WAN. There's a whole lot more involved in it. But your IT professionals understand this. I think first and foremost, you've got to sit down and start to do some of the ROI on making that change and make sure that it makes sense for the majority of the companies if they see this change in their business process as being something that's a short-term change and that in the next 2 years they expect to be fully back to the way they were before COVID hit, then it's probably not great to go down that path. But for a lot of these companies, they may be reassessing their entire work from home strategy, and they may be promoting more of that, understanding that, you know, COVID-19 is going to have a vaccine, but what about COVID-21 or COVID-23? Just as there's disaster recovery for data centers where people are making decisions about having backups for applications and data and all that, if a tornado comes along, we got hit by a tornado, but that tornado came in the form of a virus as opposed to a tornado coming in the form of a lot of wind.
Ben emphasized working with a technology provider who knows SD-WAN, the various SD-WAN vendors, and all the nuances of the various solutions to be able to find the one that's right for your particular situation.
So I think the start is you have to talk with some of your managed service providers out there. And that's not a gratuitous plug for our company at M&J. There are many other companies out there that understand both bandwidth, security, SD-WAN, and the branch of one, as we're affectionately calling it. And so you need to start with them because they're on the front lines of understanding what the capabilities are and how to help enable those capabilities. Again, it's not just looking at one way. You have to understand what's going on from a bandwidth standpoint. You have to understand what's going on from the security, and then you have to understand the SD-WAN device. So talk to your local network infrastructure managed service providers. Talk to those that are doing managed services around SD-WAN and connectivity. And I think that's really where you start to understand where you pose the problem you're looking to solve and have them start to help you and narrow down the right solution that fits. Not all SD-WAN is created equal. And whether you're looking for a branch of one, or you're in different specific industries with branch locations, understanding that different SD-WAN products act and behave differently for the right solution is paramount in the overall delivering and success of it. Not all SD-WAN is created equal. Not all of them act and behave the same. Not all of them are made for every situation. And the SD-WAN market is so huge. Plus, you've seen this massive amount of consolidation by companies like Cisco and HP and Oracle making purchases of SD-WAN companies that many companies don't know where to go. The key is understanding the key applications or problems you're looking to solve, and then the SD-WAN device that fits that solution the best. Because again, and I repeat this not to be a broken record, but for those to understand, not all SD-WAN is created equal. Just because it says it does SD-WAN or it says it could solve that problem, it doesn't mean it's the right solution for you. You need a technology partner that knows not just one SD-WAN product, but multiple SD-WAN products so that they can help you come up with the right solution, not this product that they sell. And nothing against any of these products, but you don't just want to work with Oracle and Telaria. You don't just want to work with Cisco and Viptela. You just don't want to work with HP Rubin, now Silver Peak, right? Those all have their niche and all have great success stories and great use cases, but understanding which is the best one to fit is key. And so working with more of that agnostic managed service provider or edge-based company that can help you solve that problem, I think is key to not only time to solution, but success of the solution as well.
That was John Free, an independent technology analyst, and Ben Nierenberg, the EVP at MNJ Technologies, talking about SD-WAN for home offices. I'll put a link to the TechTarget article that John wrote back in the spring that kicked off this whole conversation, as well as contact info for both John and Ben in today's show notes at avic.com/franklyit/075. What are your recent experiences in the market with SD-WAN? Has your company started rolling it out to home offices, or are they considering it? Are you noticing more chatter about SD-WAN recently? Leave a comment on the show notes and let us know. That URL again is avic.com/franklyit/075. Also, don't forget to head over to avic.com/niftygiftyfit to join the Nifty Gifty event. Claim all your free gifts and enter for the $1,600 grand prize. The event ends December 11th, so don't delay. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks. Own the network.